Easy, boy. Easy. Easy there. Easy. Attaboy.
He's magnificent.
Yeah, and he knows it. Cincinnatus is the finest horse I've ever known. He served by my side through many a battle. He's been a loyal friend.
You've always preferred the company of horses to men.
Horses are excellent judges of character. Easy, easy, boy. Easy, easy, easy.
We need to talk, sir.
I come out to the stables to get away from the work, Orville.
I know, but it's important.
Then talk.
I spoke to my friends in the Justice Department. They told me Mr. Bristow is planning to take my statement first thing tomorrow.
Word travels fast in this town.
He's wrong about the Sylph telegram.
I'm listening.
I sent that message to a friend, Sam. I don't deny it, but it's not what he thinks.
Your friend is one of the leaders of the ring, Orville.
I didn't know that at the time. I had no idea he was involved. I swear.
Why did you sign it Sylph? Mr. Bristow knows about the affair, Orville. His agents on the ground in St. Louis found out the truth. You're going to have to answer to it eventually. Why did you use Miss Hawkins' nickname as an alias?
It wasn't an alias. It was a...
A what?
A joke. My friend introduced me to Miss Hawkins originally. He knew how deeply I was drawn to her. He said that she was myself, my spirit of the air, that without her embrace I would die for want of oxygen. I've been signing my letters to him, Sylph, ever since. I mean, there was nothing to it, Sam.
Lightning will strike on Monday. Doesn't sound like nothing.
That did not refer to the ring.
What did it refer to, then?
A political appointment.
How so?
The Democrats have been trying to wrest back the reins of power in St. Louis since you took the White House in 68. For the past year, they've been fighting tooth and nail to block the appointment of a St. Louis Republican. My friend and I were working to thwart the Democrats' scheme and push his appointment through. I know the timing doesn't look good, but I swear to you, that message had nothing to do with the ring. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Here. Take my flask.
You're not lying to me, are you, son?
No, sir.
After everything we've been through, I don't think I could bear it.
Look at me, Sam. That telegram has nothing to do with the ring, and neither do I. You believe me, don't you?
You're like a son to me, Orville. Of course I believe you.
Thank you, Sam.
I want you to answer Mr. Bristow's questions truthfully. If you do that, I have no doubt this will pass.
I wish I shared your confidence.
What do you mean?
Do you trust Mr. Bristow?
Ben is a fine man and a true patriot.
In my experience, patriotism and dishonesty are not mutually exclusive. My friends in the Justice Department tell me Mr. Bristow has no evidence against me. Only the word of a handful of guilty men.
I've issued an executive order disallowing any and all immunity deals.
Well, Mr. Bristow ignored you.
Why would he do that?
In a word, ambition.
I don't understand.
He's desperate for higher office, and to prove himself a true reformer. What greater prize than the president's chief of staff?
No, no.
This is his opportunity to destroy the Grant name once and for all.
No, Ben is my friend.
No, sir, he's not. Read for yourself.
What is this?
A letter from Mr. Bristow to the leaders of the Reform faction. He's declaring his intention to end the reign of Grant and to stand as the Republican nominee in 76.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Come in.
Mr. President.
No. Don't get up on my account. Please. You mind if I join you?
By all means.
Cigar?
I don't smoke.
Have you had a chance to speak with Mr. Babcock?
Yes, sir.
Well, I certainly hope we'll be able to put this matter to rest once and for all and get back to the work of uniting this country.
I beg your pardon?
Orville is innocent, Ben. It's time to leave well enough alone.
You believe him?
I do.
I find that difficult to comprehend, sir.
We're friends, Ben, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
Then I'm asking you, as a friend, let this go.
I don't have the authority to do that, sir. But even if I did, I would not do it. Babcock's explanation for the Sylph telegram is porous and implausible. And the new special prosecutor agrees with me. He tells me he has all the evidence he needs to indict Mr. Babcock for tax fraud.
What evidence?
I can't reveal that, sir.
Ben.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't. The evidence has been sealed with the grand jury pending trial.
Are you running for president?
Beg your pardon?
Answer the question.
I certainly have ambitions for higher office. When the time is right, I...
Have you put your name forward?
No, sir. I would never do that without your permission.
You disappoint me, son.
Sir?
I will not let you destroy a man's reputation in the name of your ambition.
I don't understand.
If you wanted to put your name forward, you should have come to me, and I would have called your name myself.
Mr. President, I have not put my name forward.
Do not lie to me. I've seen evidence to the contrary with my own eyes.
What evidence?
A letter you wrote to your reformer friends begging them to campaign on your behalf.
Where did you get this letter?
That's none of your concern.
Did Babcock give it to you? Sir, I never wrote any letter. If Mr. Babcock showed you such a letter, then it's a forgery.
No. That can't be right.
I know he's your friend.
He's more than my friend. He's my comrade. He would not lie to me.
I looked into his story about the political appointment. That appointee was named 3 months before he sent the Sylph telegram. He is not the man you believe him to be.
Look at me, Ben. Orville Babcock is not corrupt. If he was, I wouldn't have put my faith in him. I wouldn't have placed my life in his hands nor entrusted him with the command of battalions. It is quite impossible that he is anything other than the man I've known, loved, and trusted.
It breaks my heart to see you so grievously deceived, sir, especially by a friend, but the evidence will show...
You have no evidence, aside from the desperate lies of guilty men. But there'll be another voice in the courtroom. I will be testifying on Mr. Babcock's behalf.
What?
I feel certain my voice will carry far more weight than the slanderous accusations of your cooperating witnesses.
Mr. President, please, do not do this.
I'm ashamed of you, Ben. You've broken my heart.
Mr. President.
Senator Thurman.
This is quite a to-do.
Give my compliments to Mrs. Grant.
I certainly will. Have you visited the Red Room before?
No, Mr. President.
How do you find it?
Red. I'll admit I was surprised to receive an invitation to your little soiree.
No, I am the president of all Americans, Senator, even those with whom I disagree.
Let us have peace. Is that the message you're trying to send?
Something to that effect.
If this invitation is an olive branch, I'm afraid I must disappoint you. The Democrats will never sue for peace. Not so long as your troops terrorize our people below the Mason-Dixon.
My troops will remain in the South until the Southern people learn the error of their ways.
When will you learn the error of your ways, Mr. President? If the papers are to be believed, there is a traitor in the White House.
I would not put my faith in the whispers of the press.
You and I both know it's more than whispers. A word of warning. I would not interfere with Mr. Bristow's investigation, lest you add obstruction of justice to the list of impeachment articles being considered by my colleagues in the House.
Mr. President, may I have a word?
I'll leave you to your business. Good evening, gentlemen.
James?
We need to talk.
I'm entertaining guests. Can it wait?
No, sir, it cannot.
Follow me.
Is it true? You're planning to testify?
As I have said many times, I made it the rule of my life to stand by a man long after others have given up on him.
There's a reason no president has ever testified in a criminal trial.
I will not let an innocent man suffer when I have the power to do something about it.
He is not innocent. I've spoken to Mr. Bristow.
Mr. Bristow's mind's been poisoned by political pursuits.
It's not Bristow's mind that's been poisoned.
What do you want, James?
Fire Orville Babcock. Do it now before the trial gets underway.
I will not abandon my comrade to the political games of the men of Washington.
Do not be a fool. Orville Babcock is guilty. If you testify on his behalf, you'll be handing the 76 election to the Democrats, and you'll be destroying the Republican Party for a generation.
Orville Babcock served by my side at Vicksburg and Cold Harbor. He stood by me in the darkest hours of my life. I will not turn my back on him. Not for you, not for your precious party.
I didn't spend much time in the trenches. I don't pretend to understand the bond that exists between you. But I do know a thing or two about this city. While you learned to command battalions and win battles, I learned how to play the wicked game of Washington politics. All men have their price, a wise man once said. My friends tell me Mr. Babcock's price was $25,000.
That's a scurrilous lie.
No, sir. It's not. There was a time I thought that all the men of Washington were like Orville Babcock. Until I met you. You made me believe in the goodness of men, the hope of good government, and the promise of this country's future. Think of your legacy. Do not throw away everything you've done for Orville Babcock.
I wish to be remembered as a man who stood by his friends, even when it wasn't politically convenient. And even after his supposed allies sought to whisper their insidious counsel in his ear. Good evening, Mr. Congressman.
If you walk into that courtroom to testify, you'll be making yourself a millstone around the neck of our party. And you will sink us out of sight.
George Washington called political parties a fatal disease. If the party's to die anyway, then so be it. It's open.
Sam.
Have you seen the front page? The president's man is acquitted. Congratulations, Orville.
Thank you, Sam. I want you to have this.
A box of cigars.
From me and the missus. My lawyers tell me your testimony is what swayed the jury. I'm forever in your debt.
My son, the country's in your debt.
Thank you for standing by me.
Well, shall we? We're celebrating, aren't we?
I suppose.
Here then. Light up.
Mr. President, forgive me. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Mrs. Babcock is expecting me for dinner. I'll be on my way.
Give her my thanks for the cigars.
I will. Mr. Bristow.
Mr. Babcock.
What do you want?
Here. My letter of resignation.
I'm not certain I'm prepared to offer you the dignity of a resignation.
Fire me, if you like, but I stand by my actions. I perform my duties as instructed, sir, with honor.
You ruin a man's name for the sake of your career and call it honor?
When you took that stand, you destroyed my character, my reputation, and my future.
You have no one to blame for that but yourself. Leave the letter on my desk and clean out your office at once.
You were deceived, sir. Orville Babcock is a traitor.
One telegram does not make a traitor. And neither do the vile words of a gaggle of guilty men. Your letter, Mr. Bristow.
It wasn't one telegram. We uncovered over a dozen messages from Babcock to his conspirators in St. Louis. Almost all of them are signed Sylph. And every single one was sent within a day of a raid. You saved your friend, but you have destroyed the Republican Party. You have ruined me, and you have forever branded the name Grant with the mark of corruption.
...1865 is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's strange to think that even not that long ago, certainly when I was a young adult, and I'm not that old now, there was a stigma against therapy. I'm glad it's changing, because it makes no sense. Who would stigmatize going to the gym, eating healthier? Talking with a therapist is emotional strength training. And when you're ready for that, BetterHelp is there for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, someone you can begin communicating with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. Log in anytime to text, call, or video chat your counselor. It's more convenient and more affordable than traditional counseling, and BetterHelp is committed to finding you the right counselor. Switch anytime, easily, and at no charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/1865. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/1865.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Easy, boy. Easy, easy, easy.
Whoa, whoa. Sam? You haven't been in the office.
I'm taking some time away.
You've been gone all week. What are you doing all the way out here?
I'll ride out to this creek when I need to get away from it all. Clear my head.
It's beautiful.
Reminds me of the Battle of Belmont, you remember?
That was a hell of a fight.
They had us pinned down by that creek. We held them off for what, 4 hours? I was sure we were going to die that day.
And so was I.
I've never had much use for religion. But days like that made me wonder if there was a divine hand at work in our victory. Mr. Lincoln always believed there was. For a time, I believed it too. But I don't know anymore.
Come along, Sam. Let's get you back to the office.
Mr. Henderson never ordered his men to follow me.
Sir?
I spoke to the new special prosecutor. No order of that kind was ever given. Not by Mr. Henderson, not by anyone. You forged that document, just like that letter from Mr. Bristow and God knows what else.
Sam.
Do you deny it? Easy, boy. Easy, easy, easy. Shh. Do you know why I named him Cincinnatus?
No.
After the Roman statesman. He left behind his plow to take up a command, and after a decisive victory, he relinquished his power and returned to his farm a hero, to live out his days in peace. You've robbed me of that, son. You have broken my spirit. And you've rendered me useless.
Everything I did in service of your presidency.
Did you benefit financially? I asked you a question.
Sam, please.
How much?
I decided that when it was my turn to fall out of favor, I wasn't walking away empty-handed like Ely Parker.
Get out of my sight. Go on. Leave me.
Goodbye, Sam.
Mr. President?
Mr. Rainey.
What is the meaning of this?
Get the door.
I hereby decline to allow my name to be brought forward at the Republican convention?
I know what it says, Mr. Rainey. I don't need you to read it back to me.
Why are you declining?
My reasons are my own.
Sir, you cannot do this.
It's already done.
The convention is weeks away. You can still put your name forward. You are the hero of Appomattox, sir. No man can defeat you.
I'm no hero, Mr. Rainey. My part in this story is over.
Do you know who the Republican leadership is eyeing for the nomination in your stead? Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes, I heard.
He is no friend to my people, sir. He has already put in the word out that he is willing to make concessions to the men of the South, including removing all troops from below the Mason-Dixon. You must allow your friends to put your name forward.
The party does not want me, Mr. Rainey.
The freedmen will stand by you, sir. We showed up for you in 68 and 72, even in the face of violence. We will face down these red shirts and do the same in 76, if only you will finish the fight.
I don't know how to win this fight. I can defeat armies on the field of battle, but I do not know how to fight an enemy who smiles in my face while he puts the knife in my back.
That is precisely what this country has been doing to my people since 1776. Only we don't have the luxury of walking away.
Every minute I remain in the White House, I sink this country further into ruin. Your people are better off without me.
If you stop fighting now, Mr. President, you won't be remembered as the hero of Appomattox. You'll be remembered as a coward.
That'll be all, Mr. Rainey.
Mr. President, please.
Mr. Rainey! It would be regrettable were I so compelled to have you forcibly removed.
That won't be necessary. I'll show myself out.
The New York Evening Post, March 3rd, 1877. A Faustian bargain. After a disputed presidential election rife with fraud and after contested returns in Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, the bipartisan Electoral Commission awarded all disputed electoral votes to the Republican candidate, Rutherford B. Hayes. When the Democrats threatened to filibuster the decision, rather than face a bitter congressional fight, both parties met in a backroom meeting reeking of brimstone. When they emerged, Mr. Hayes was officially declared the president-elect. But what was the price of his office? The nation's very soul. Hayes has pledged to withdraw all federal troops from the South, officially ending Reconstruction.
They call it a Faustian bargain, but it was, I suppose, a necessary evil.
Or a resounding victory.
It's hardly resounding. Rutherford B. Hayes is in the White House, Mr. Cooper.
For the moment. But we won the House and the Senate. Soon, we'll win back the state houses as well, and with them, control of the voting process. I imagine we can use that power to keep a firm grip on the Congress and win back the White House in 4 years' time. There's only one real loser in this election, Senator. And it's not the Republicans or the Democrats. It's the freed man. The days of Negro rule are over. The era of states' rights has begun. If only Andy were here to see this.
I have no doubt you've made your friend proud.
Perhaps we should drink to the man who made it all possible.
To Andy Johnson.
No, to Ulysses S. Grant. And I think it's only fitting we imbibe the general's drink of choice. Whiskey. To the hero of Appomattox.
Ah, no, 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 no. To the freedmen.
Mr. Langston.
Mr. Garfield.
May I sit?
It's a free country, for the moment.
I thought you didn't drink.
I don't.
Is that a wise choice for a man who preaches temperance?
No, but this is Washington. No one here practices what they preach. What are you doing here?
I spoke to your wife. She told me where to find you.
What do you want, James?
I heard about your appointment. Minister to Haiti.
I made my case to President Hayes. He listened. In a few months, I'll be on board a steamer crossing the ocean for the first time, and I have no intention of coming back.
What about Howard University? You would abandon all the great work you've done there?
Howard University abandoned me, James. I guess you didn't hear my other piece of news. I was passed over for president, even though I served as interim for over 2 years.
Did the committee provide a reason?
No, but of the committee, every black member voted yes, and every white member voted no, so I think I can venture a guess.
I'm sorry.
What do you want?
You have many friends in Washington, John. Friends who wish to see you succeed, and who wish a better future for all the freedmen.
I hear you were in the room when they struck that Faustian bargain, is it true?
Yes.
What did you get in return for selling my people up the river?
They offered me Speaker of the House.
Like I said, no one here practices what they preach.
I told them to go to hell right before I walked out of the room.
Is that right?
I believe it was you who said, compromise is a very devil. Your talents are wasted in Haiti, John. Stay in Washington. Help your friends finish this fight.
I heard Mr. Lincoln speak back during the war. He was talking to a crowd of freedmen in Washington City. He told them, on this broad continent, not a single man of your race is made the equal of a single man of ours. Go where you are treated the best. At the time, I remember being furious that he would even suggest such a thing. But I've come to understand that Mr. Lincoln wasn't being cruel. He knew his own people better than I ever could. He was trying to protect us, to warn us that we would never find what we were looking for on these shores, because there is a sickness in the fabric of this country. I appreciate your support, James, but I aim to heed the words of Mr. Lincoln.
Come in.
Mrs. Williams.
Congressman Ramey. What brings you all the way to York County?
I wish I was here with better news. May I come in?
Of course. May I offer you anything?
No, ma'am. I can't stay. I have to get back to Washington.
What can I do for you?
I'm here about Dr. Rufus Bratton.
What about him?
There's no easy way to say this, ma'am. Dr. Bratton is on his way back to York County.
To stand trial?
No, ma'am. He's just received a pardon from the new president.
A pardon?
Yes, ma'am. I came as soon as I heard the news.
Lord Jesus!
Miss Williams, there's a ship leaving Charleston in a month's time.
A ship?
Yes, ma'am. To Liberia. I've taken the liberty of securing passage for you and yours.
This is my home, Mr. Rainey. I'm not going anywhere. What I want to know is, what are you going to do?
Mrs. Williams.
I don't have a voice, a vote, or an office, but you do. So what are you going to do to make this right?
The compromise changed everything, ma'am.
That wasn't a compromise. It was a devil's bargain.
Yes, ma'am. But we're all at the mercy of the South now. Nothing to be done except get out.
There is always more to be done, Mr. Rainey.
Mama?
My goodness. Is that little James?
Yes, sir.
Not so little anymore.
No, sir. But he's shy as a squirrel. Come here, baby. It's okay. I want you to meet Congressman Joseph Rainey. This is the man your daddy died trying to protect.
How do you do, son?
You know my daddy?
In a manner of speaking.
Mama says he was a hero.
He was indeed.
I want to be like him when I grow up.
All right, bet you will.
Going back to your room now.
Yes, Mama.
Handsome young man.
Just like his daddy. Jim is buried in the cemetery right down the road, Mr. Rainey. I aim to be buried right next to him. Between now and then, I'm gonna stay and fight.
Ma'am, think of your son.
I am. I'm going to raise him to know his power. I'm going to raise him to carry on the legacy his father left behind. He's going to know and be proud of the man his father was. Do you know these white people are already changing Jim's story? They're making him out to be a murderous, raping, white-hating madman. That's not who my husband was. And I damn sure won't let them wipe away what they did to him. We have to tell our story, Mr. Rainey. If we don't, they will. I can't do that in Liberia or no place else. I can only do that right here in York, where my heart is buried and where Jim's blood cries out for justice.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Are you awake?
Healy.
General.
No. I'm no general. A general has a command. I can't get out of bed. Can't hardly eat, can't smoke. I had to sell all my horses. I bet I look like hell, too.
You've looked better.
At least you're honest. Did you get the copy of my memoirs I sent you?
Yes.
Did you read them?
Every word. Though I'm not sure why you sent it to me.
I wanted your opinion.
I haven't heard a word from you since you asked for my resignation. Why did you send for me now?
I told you. To hear your thoughts on my memoirs.
You're the most honest man I have ever known. Don't start lying to me now.
I'm dying.
So I hear.
I have something I need to say.
I'm listening.
Healy, I...
Are you all right?
No.
Should I fetch your son?
No, don't.
Perhaps I should.
I said no, damn it.
You asked me what I thought about your memoirs.
Yes.
You didn't finish the story. You stopped at Appomattox.
Yes.
You don't even mention your time in the White House.
I'm not sure I want to spend the time I have left dwelling on the rest.
For some, it is not so easy to forget. You ruined me. You ruined my prospects. And you ruined my good name. But that's not what disappoints me the most.
Ailey.
If I were to finish your memoirs, I'd write that no other man could have fought as hard as you did, for as long as you did, in the face of what you were up against.
Thank you, Ailey.
But I'd also say that it wasn't enough. You once said, in every battle there comes a time when both sides consider themselves beaten. Then he who continues the attack wins. You could have pressed the attack. You could have had a third term if you had put your name forward, but you surrendered.
I was betrayed.
The freedmen were betrayed. My people were betrayed. The country was betrayed. You were the best of men. And you abandoned your post. That is what pains me the most. That is what you'll be remembered for. Good day.
Ailey?
Yes.
I'm sorry, son.
Take care of yourself, General.
Storm clouds filled his heaven, and slander rained down upon him. But the death of Ulysses S. Grant has blown all the clouds away, and under a serene sky the nation weeps. Grant was not a man of ambition. He did not fight for the generalship nor the presidency. He had but one motive: to defeat the rebellion, restore the Union, and eradicate slavery. For that end, he waded through blood to the horses' bridles. Though they called him a butcher, Grant desired nothing more than peace. When his work was done, the general wished to rest upon his laurels, but universal acclaim called him to the presidency, where he found Reconstruction even more burdensome than the war. It would seem impossible to combine in one man both eminent civil and military genius. Victories in war are won by force, in civil government by influence. God is frugal in creating men with elements of a great general and a great ruler. Grant had in him elements of great statesmen, but his wisdom was the result of a noble nature and not an intelligence bred by experience. The stormy days of politics during his 8 years are owed to the influences of advisors whom he had taken into his confidence. Such was his loyalty to friendship that it must be set down as a fault rarely found among public men. Imperious counselors and corrupt parasites dim the light of his political administration. The resisting forces of his body gave way, and disease sprang forth in ambush. The iron will that had upheld him in war sustained him in his lingering hours, but when the last lines were written, he laid back upon his couch and breathed back his great soul to God. He rests now in peace. No drum or cannon shall disturb his rest until another trumpet shall shake the heavens and the earth.
AT-77.
1865 is an Airship production, starring James Black as Ulysses S. Grant, and featuring Jeremy Schwartz as Edwin Stanton, and William Jackson Harper as John Mercer Langston. Also featuring Jason Douglas, Matthew Gray, Christopher Murney, Kurt Rhodes, Sidney James Harcourt, Blake Hackler, Kelly Jenrett, Randy Perrine, and Christopher Salazar. Created by Stephen Walters and Eric Archilla. Written by Jonathan Norton, Eric Archilla, and Stephen Walters. Directed by Stephen Walters. Executive producers Lindsey Graham and Stephen Walters. Co-executive producers Eric Archilla and Robert McCullough. Consulting producer Jonathan Norton. Sound design by Derek Behrens and Lindsey Graham. And music by Lindsey Graham. Thank you for listening to Season 2 of 1865.
Mr. Langston.
Mr. Rainey.
I thought you were still overseas.
I resigned my post.
Oh.
That's why I'm here. Actually, may I come in?
Yes, please. Here, let me get your coat.
No, I can't stay long.
What can I do for you, then?
Do you still have a relationship with Republican leadership?
Of course.
Would you be willing to speak to them on my behalf?
What is this about?
I want to run for Congress.
Where?
Virginia.
Lord in heaven. I thought you were done with Washington. And done with politics.
Have you been to Haiti, Joseph?
No.
I've never seen anything like it. Black men and women, not just in nominal freedom, independence, but the builders of a great society. With power, respected, and honored by all the great nations. The people of Haiti not only freed themselves from bondage, but they maintained that freedom. And they rose to a place of prominence in a country second to none in its beauty and richness, a place fit to be a very Garden of Eden. If our brothers and sisters in Haiti can do it there, why can't we do it here?
A dear friend once told me, there is always more to be done.
Sounds like a smart man.
A smart woman. Make no mistake, Mr. Langston. This will be a monumental task. The North has abandoned us. The South has done everything in their power, legally and illegally, to stop us from voting. And now, you're aiming to launch a campaign in the heart of the old Confederacy. The white men of Virginia will resist you with every ounce of terror they can muster.
Let them. This is our home, Joseph. This is our country. If we are to make a Garden of Eden for all Americans, we must pick up the sword and fight.